Welcome to a Juno Afternoon on Thursday, September 14th, 2017. I'm your host, Scott Burton. Glad to have you with us as always. On today's show, we'll highlight the UAS nursing program. We'll learn how to nominate someone to be an AWARE Woman of Distinction. Juno Cabaret performers will preview this Sunday's performances. James Hoagland will detail Saturday's Divas performances. And Nancy DeCherney will be here with Arts Up. Those interviews, National Native News, Writer's Almanac, Bird Note Music, and more right here, live and local on a Juno afternoon. It's currently 52 degrees and overcast here in the capital city.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The Seminole Tribe of Florida is operating 4 shelters for members impacted by Hurricane Irma. As of Wednesday, there was a boil water notice in place due to a water main break. At least 4 reservation communities were without electricity as of Wednesday. Generators are being used to assist hospitals. The tribe is working with the Federal Emergency Management Agency as well as other agencies on recovery efforts. Door-to-door assessments were also expected to begin Wednesday. The Miccosukee Tribe of Florida has about 6 inches of standing water on roads. Cell phone service and utilities were out Wednesday. A senior center is providing food to tribal members and first responders. In Alabama, the Porch Band of Creek Indians declared a state of emergency, while tribes in Mississippi and the Carolinas are monitoring the progress of the storm. The owners of 4 liquor stores in White Clay, Nebraska, recently appealed the loss of their liquor licenses to the state Supreme Court. As Jim Kent reports, the hearing primarily approached the case as a technical legal issue rather than focusing on human rights.
Native American activists and their supporters spent 20 years trying to close down liquor stores in White Clay. The stores sold some 4 million cans of beer annually, most to residents of the nearby Pine Ridge Reservation, where liquor is banned. Success was achieved in May of this year when the Nebraska Liquor Control Commission refused to renew the store's licenses, citing a lack of adequate law enforcement in the small community. Store owners appealed that decision and were granted a hearing in the state's Supreme Court. Nebraska State Senator Patty Panzing Brooks is an attorney and supported the effort to close the liquor stores. She says the attorney for the stores referenced previous similar cases and brought up the question of legal jurisdiction.
Technical legal arguments that don't have to do with the devastation of the Native people. But again, with any kind of situation like this, law enforcement is one of the triggers.
Panzing Brooks adds the Nebraska Liquor Control Commission does have a requirement for adequate law enforcement in areas where they grant liquor licenses. Key to the court's decision will be clarifying whether the commission has the right to revoke or renew liquor licenses. A decision by the Nebraska Supreme Court in the White Clay case is expected to take up to 2 months. For National Native News, I'm Jim Kent.
The U.S. Senate Committee on Indian Affairs passed 3 bills this week involving economic development, veterans housing, and federal recognition for 6 Virginia tribes. The economic development legislation would clarify that 5 tribes in Oregon may purchase, sell, and lease land without further congressional approval. The bill for Native veterans would help with recruitment of VA case managers and create a set-aside rental assistance. The 3rd bill extends federal recognition status for 6 Virginia tribes. Leaders of the Navajo Nation remember former U.S. New Mexico Senator Pete Domenici as a friend to the tribe. The Navajo President's Office and the Tribal Council acknowledged Domenici after learning of his death this week. President Russell Begay says he helped with early programs like the Office of Navajo Economic Opportunity and added the 6-term senator was an advocate in bringing companies to Navajo land. The Republican senator passed away Wednesday in Albuquerque at the age of 85 after complications from surgery. The American Indian Alaska Native Tourism Association has recognized tribal destinations and leaders in the tourism industry with its annual awards. Honors include the Talking Stick Resort in Arizona, owned by the Salt River Pima Maricopa Indian community, as the best tribal destination. People from across the country gathered in Green Bay, Wisconsin this week for the group's annual convention. Awards were handed out Wednesday. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service.
Support by BNSF Railway, proud partners of the American Indian Science and Education Society's National Conference, September 21st to 23rd, helping prepare the next generation of STEM leaders. More at bnsf.com/tribalrelations. Support by Northern Arizona University, a university committed to serving Native American students, offering opportunity in every direction, in Flagstaff, at community colleges around the state, and online. Learn more at nau.edu.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Thursday, September 14th, 2017. Scott Burton, your host today. In the studio with me now is Wendy Cole. She is a fiscal technician for business services out at UAS and also a CNA over at the Juno Pioneers Home. And we're here today to talk about the UAS nursing program and becoming a CNA. Wendy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. So you are a CNA. Yourself.
Yes, sir.
We're going to be talking
yes.
about how other people can become CNAs.
Okay.
You work at the Pioneer Home. What's that yes. like, and how did you get there?
Well, I would say that I've worked my entire life in admin, and, you know, I graduated locally here from JDHS, and I knew that I always wanted to go back to school and continue my education. I just never knew in what field I wanted to do that from. And so I spent many years just working, you know, through my admin jobs. And I worked for the state of Alaska for 14 years before I transferred out to the university. And the university, for their staff and faculty, offer this wonderful tuition waiver program. Where the
so you were probably in your 30s when you went back to
UAS. Oh, I was 39.
All right, cool.
That was about 3 years ago, yes. And I got a job with the university, transferred from the state as an admin person under business services doing travel. And I was looking to continue my education. I'm a single parent. My son is now 20. He goes to the university. And I knew that I wanted to go back to school. I always knew that I wanted to live a life of service, but I didn't know which avenue I would like to do that from. And so I really literally said, you know, 20 years is enough time to say that I'm going to go back to school. All those excuses of raising a family and, you know, hard work every day, 8-to-5 jobs. And I just, it wasn't so much about the money. It was just kind of getting out of my comfort zone and doing something different. And I found that they had, in the spring, a CNA course offered, not distance, in a classroom setting, which I loved. And it was offered during the week from 5 to 8:30, and then also on a Saturday from 8 to 4. So it made it really plausible for me to continue my daily work to provide for my family, yet gave me an opportunity to extend and continue my education and really find something that I really love to do. And, you know, I didn't see the medical field in my future. I just really took it because it was a class available in the evening after I got off work, and it's just turned out to be this beautiful, wonderful thing.
Excellent. Take us into a day in your life at the Pioneer Home.
Well, like I said, so I work full-time at the university, so if I get called in at the Pioneer Home, it's after the hours of, you know, 5 p.m. to about 9:30 or 10 p.m., and then I can work an 8 or 10-hour day on the weekend. You know, and the CNAs really are trained as entry-level workers to assist the nurses. We are on the floors. We are assisting residents with their daily living activities, and that can range because of their age or an infirmity that they might be living with, or disability, and anything range from assisting to eat, transfer, walk, hygiene, and just, you know, think about what you do on a day-to-day basis. You know, we can easily put our feet on the ground and get out of bed. These folks, some of them, aren't able to do that. And so really the CNAs are trained with basic skills on how to assist those individuals, really just to how to live and to support their daily activities.
I imagine they must be very thankful for your help.
Not as much as thankful I am to be a part of their life, that's for sure. I think I'm the one that's blessed, but.
Okay, so if somebody wanted to become a CNA, like you. You know, you started in the spring. Sounds like there's classes here in the fall.
There is. There's actually four opportunities, four classes. There is a, so we're too late to register now for the fall class. The fall class starts in late August, early September, and that class is taught by Christine Urata. She is a registered nurse, and that's offered a Monday through Friday. That's an early morning, 8 to 5 p.m., and then Saturday and Sunday. And, of course, as you get near the end of the course, there's clinicals that the university works with the Juno Pioneer Home and the Wildflower Court to complete those clinicals. And for the spring that's coming up, please register early because there is a limit class size of 10. And Juno, as rest of the, you know, amongst the rest of the nation, we are in dire need of more medical professionals, especially, you know, certified nurses assistants. So there's two sections available in the spring. Suzanne Malter teaches the evening course, 5 to 9:30, a couple days a week, and then Saturday and Sunday. And then, of course, your clinicals the end of March, early April. And then also Christine Urata teaches a section in the spring. The first day of those classes are January 17th to the 19th. And those classes end actually the end of April, early May. And then we have one summer section class available, and that's taught by Suzanne Malter, and that's a five-day-a-week course. It's pretty quick, pretty rapid. And at the end of each of those courses, you do your clinicals at Wildflower and the Juno Pioneer Home, and then that allows you to be able to sit for the state exam, in which at time that you take a state exam, both for bookwork and skill assessment. And then if you pass, which UAS has a 98% pass rate, you will then get your license and be able to work anywhere as a certified nurse's assistant.
So let's say somebody starts in the spring, they take the class, and they do the clinicals and the testing. What's the earliest that somebody could be actually working?
August, September. That was my story.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I did the spring of 2014. Goodness, I can't believe it's been 4 years already. And we sat for the state exam. We passed the course. We sat for the state exam, I think, early May. You find out within 3 to 5 days if you pass by going to the licensing site. And then I think I was hired on with the Juno Pioneer Home that fall.
And you're loving it.
I love it. You know, I love the university. I love my admin. But there is nothing more satisfying than able to look another human being in the eye and help them to live their life to the fullest extent. So, yes.
So people should start thinking about applying soon. How hard was that for you going back?
There are not too hard, but you do have to start, I would say, a month to 6 weeks in advance because there are some prerequisites for the registering of the class. You have to get a completed background check, and you can actually do that through public safety. If you go out to the valley and you go to the troopers, they can really just do it within a five-minute period. Again, it's like $25. Complete the application online. I'll give you that website and a phone number. A criminal background check, which goes with the background that you get from the police department. The health examination from your local doctor, or you can get that done at the health center. A current TB test and an immunizations record. You submit that with the completed application. I think it's $35 or $40 to register, and then the nurse or the instructor will get back to you. And if you're on a waiting list, don't lose hope because there's always someone that can't make it because of some, you know. So just get out there. We need you, Juno. We need your help. We need your support, and we need your love for the individuals.
Okay, Wendy, what's the website people should go to to start this process?
Okay, so the website that you can go to is, or you can send an email to admissions@uas.alaska.edu, or you can call Health Sciences at 1-877-465-4827 or toll-free at 907-796-6100. And that's University of Alaska Southeast for Health Sciences.
Wendy, last piece of advice to our listeners, somebody who might be sitting on the fence thinking about going back to school, thinking about the next career. You 5 years ago.
Yeah.
What would you say to them?
Well, just don't underestimate yourself. You know, we all have each beautiful and wonderful gifts, and, you know, somebody might be out there that really could benefit from you personally. So encourage yourself, you know, and it's been a blessing. My son and I, we did homework together. It helped him, you know, kind of establish some good study skills. I didn't think that I could do it at my age, but absolutely. When I got back into that classroom, yeah, it was just a wonderful experience, not for myself only and not for the people I serve, but for my family as well. So thank you.
Wendy Cole, thanks for coming on the show. Anything else you want to add?
No, I'm good. Thank you. Have a great day.
You too.
I didn't think this world in a place for me. I almost stopped walking, it came a slow. But still not so sure there's a place for me. I don't know if my head could do the work. I never was much good at looking things. I never thought I could become a clerk. Now they see me running the company.
Support for this KTOO programming is provided by Jesse Keel, candidate for City and Borough of Juneau Assembly in the municipal election October 3rd. Paid for by Keel for Assembly, 535 Harris Street, Juneau.
You're listening to a Juneau Afternoon here on Thursday. It's about 20 minutes past the hour. In the studio with me now is Sarah Lynn Tabachnik. She is the ED out at AWARE, and we are here to talk about nominating women of distinction. Welcome to the show, Sarah Lynn.
Thank you, Scott.
Nice to have you here. I suspect almost all of our listeners know what AWARE is and what it does, but could you give us a recap?
Yes, AWARE is Juneau's domestic violence sexual assault program. We do services, intervention services, prevention services, and men's programming. So we're really looking to create a safer community and for people to feel safe and reflect for themselves what that means and how they can achieve that. Our services are free and confidential. Anybody who feels unsafe in their relationship or in their home is welcome to call us any time of the day or night.
And you have a shelter, a physical shelter, right?
That's right. That's right. We have a 32-bed emergency safe shelter. So when people need emergency safety, they have a place to go where people care about them, where there is a bed for them, food, kind of basic needs as an ear to listen, and, you know, just time and space for people to come into themselves a little bit. It's, you know, generally people coming from a crisis situation, so we really want to calm things down and have them experience a safe and pleasant environment.
So maybe if that's the foundation of your services, I know you do so much more. If people want to find out more, where can they do that?
Well, they can do that online at our website, which is awareak.org, and they can also contact us at 586-6623.
Okay. Among your, I would say, awards, your fundraisers is this Women of Distinction. I looked it up today. It looks like it goes back to about 1997. Is that right?
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Any idea how it came to be?
Actually, I think it's a great story. The then director of AWARE, Annette Coggins, a friend of hers received an invitation to an event like this that was happening, I think, in California. And it was a fundraiser for an agency similar to AWARE. And subsequently, she contacted that agency and got loads of information and put this together. And it's something I inherited, thankfully, because it's an extraordinary event and really loads of fun.
And it looks like usually there's four women are honored at
That's
one of
right.
your events, which is usually in March. Is that right?
Right. Right, right. The first Saturday of March. So save the date, March 3rd, 2018.
Okay. And it is indeed a fundraiser for AWARE.
That's right.
But also at the same time, a great way to honor women leaders and educators in our community.
Yeah. Yeah.
Artists,
multi-purpose.
Everything. Okay. So how can one nominate a woman of distinction?
Well, they can. I think the best or easiest way is to look on our website. Again, that's www.awareak.org. And there is a nomination form on the website, and there are instructions in the form, and I think it's fairly simple and fairly clear-cut. There are six questions that we ask people to answer, and people are also welcome to get letters of support, up to three letters of support from other people in the community who might have other perspectives on their nominee, so that we can get as much information but not overload us. And us being the AWARE Board of Directors who reviews all the nominations and has the difficult job of choosing four.
I'll bet. Can you remind us who were the four honorees in 2017?
Sure. In 2017, we honored Andrea Caesar, Sue Douglas, Chris Sell, and Rena Sims.
Okay.
And thanks for asking, because just saying those names took me back there. And if anybody listening was there, and I'm sure they might have had a similar journey like I just had, and it was putting a smile on my face instantly.
I'm just looking at the list of past, you know, nominees and awardees. I'm seeing names like Ernestine Hayes, Elaine Schroeder, this is totally random, Amy Dressel, Diana Stevens, Ann Boutchever, Suzanne Baxter, just great leaders in our community.
Yeah, it's kind of neat too, Scott, because some women are people that you're very familiar with, or, you know, they're known in the community, and others are kind of maybe shy people or behind the scenes people, we call like unsung heroes. So it's really great when we get to honor them as well.
And so that's something probably good to keep in mind as we nominate, right?
Right.
Thinking of course, the prominent leaders, but also the unsung heroes, as you say.
Yeah.
That's great. When is the deadline for nominations?
The deadline is coming up. It's September 22nd, which is a Friday, so a week from Friday at 4 p.m.
Okay.
People can submit, you know, their nominations from via fax, mail, email, or hand delivery to AWARE.
Okay. And again, awareak.org is
correct.
The website.
Yep.
And to find the nomination forms. Anything else that you'd like to communicate today, Sarah Lynn?
I think I would just like to say thank you, Scott.
Well, you're welcome anytime, and thank you for doing what you do.
Pleasure.
And as bad as I want to walk into the boss's office and say that wrestling is not a legitimate sport, and I'm losing because he's writing scripts that tell me to lose, I don't. Because it's actually a good job, a dream job. And I'm happy to lose. And I don't mind that my knees hurt, my everything's hurt, because I'm one of the wrestlers, and I'm in love with who I am.
The elaborate entrance of Chad Deity at Perseverance Theater runs September 14th to October 7th. Tickets at ptalaska.org, The Jack, and 463-TIXS.
You are listening to Juno Afternoon here on Thursday. We're right at the bottom of the hour, and in the studio with me are Tom Loker and Tom Melville. They are both a big part of Juno Cabaret, which performs this Sunday at 7 p.m. at the Rockwell Ballroom with, looks like, an amazing lineup. Tom and Tom, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having
us
on the air again, Tom. No, you're Tom.
I can be Tom, too. I'll be Tom.
Honorary Tom. Scott. Burton.
Yeah.
Nice to be with you
again. We were just saying, this is the 9th season of Juno Cabaret.
39th show on Sunday night.
That's a lot of shows.
Yeah, Sunday at the Rockwell Ballroom, 7 p.m. It's pay as you can. All ages are welcome. And we do have a great lineup. David Shakely Early is going to play drums with us.
He's just so much a part of this and underappreciated, except maybe by the performers themselves.
Yeah, he's a great drummer and very sensitive, and he knows an enormous number of songs. Luke Weld is the other accompanist, and Jackie Farnsworth. Jackie's going to be accompanying Katrina Lee and Jack Brandt, and Katrina's also in the Hoosier Diva competition next week.
Yeah.
Another Hoosier Diva contestant is Alicia Fahlberg. I'll be accompanying her. And then Luke is going to accompany four of our singers, Bobby Mitchell, Myra Kalbaugh, Patricia Hull, and John Haywood. And then I get the pleasure of accompanying Alicia, who I mentioned, Allison Holtkamp, Erica Lee, and newcomer Margot Youngberg, who moved to Juno from Skagway, and she's very, very good. And we're so excited to have her on the stage of Juno Cabaret for the very first time.
So many talented musicians in one space.
Yeah, it's actually sometimes when I'm performing, I sort of feel intimidated by how much talent there is out there that I'm, you know. Okay, I'm, you know, being compared with these, what am I doing here kind of things, but yeah, it's so much fun to do it.
Paint us a scene for our listeners who haven't been upstairs at the Rockwell Ballroom at 7 p.m. this Sunday. They walk up the stairs. What's it look like up there?
Well, it's going to be soft light, and we do have a spotlight on the stage for each performer. The talented David Mendeville will be running lights and sound for us. And we're pretty excited to have him back with us on the mixing board and running the spotlight. Every performer gives two songs in order. So each person's on stage for, 5 to 7 minutes. And accompanied by just piano, drums. Both Luke and I play keyboard bass as well. So it's an intimate setting where the singer can make a strong connection with the audience, look right at them. It's more of a listening room so people can hear the lyrics being sung. And I think cabaret is an art form that's worth preserving. Certainly the music we try and focus on is the Great American Songbook, songs written between 1920 and 1960. And our mission is preservation through performance, getting people out there singing these songs. Nice ballpoint pen there.
Yeah.
And the other thing that they'll see when they go up there is they'll see tables, because Rockwell sets up tables for us. They have wait staff so people can order food and drink and just have a nice time sitting there listening to the music and just having a really pleasant evening.
Yeah. Food and drink is available for purchase. We'll also have a designated area set aside for folks who want to attend the show who are under 21 and are unaccompanied. They have a place to sit, too. So it's a pay-as-you-can, no ticket to buy. Begins right at 7, and we're so excited to have these singers. Heather Mitchell will also be there as our MC and host for the evening. She's going to talk us through the beginning and end of the show. The whole thing will run about an hour and 15 minutes with a short intermission in the middle, maybe 10 minutes long.
You mentioned the Great American Songbook. Who are a few composers or singers that might get referenced this Sunday, would you say?
Well, the composers are a collection of a couple of dozen well-known ones. In this Sunday's lineup, we're going to have songs from Broadway shows. We're going to have songs written by, you know, some of these famous composers are the Gershwin brothers and Jerome Kern, Richard Rodgers, Frank Lesser. I could go on and on, but the singers bring their own interpretation to each song, and they're constantly breathing new life into old standards. One of the Harry Warren songs being done this Sunday night is from 42nd Street, an old musical from the 40s, but Margot Youngberg said, we're going to breathe some new life into that song and give it a Latin treatment. So she hopes David is up to it, and he certainly is, yeah.
You guys are a couple aficionados. Is the Great American Songbook closed, or can one still get into it?
I think it's still going on.
I think so, too. It's a lot of the songs are follow a particular format, 32 bars long, you know, eight measures, eight measure bridge. And not all of them, but many of them do. The lyrics typically speak to storytelling or a love song. And it's an art form that's not uniquely American, but the songbook certainly is. And the ways in which singers interpret these songs and restyle them with new life and new rhythms, new tempos, is uniquely American also. I think that's...
Yeah, many of them are ballads, but they lend themselves to up-tempo swing, or as we just heard, Latin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's so many ways you can take these songs and do them in interesting new ways that are just so entertaining to hear. And
jazz waltzes, too. We have some singers that really like waltz time, 3/4 time, and will take a old song and restyle it so it fits into a jazz waltz feel. The other thing is we'll start out in one style and then switch to another and switch back. Bossa swing, bossa happens. And we try new tempos, things that are ordinarily performed slow, you might hear fast, and vice versa. And the singers have incredible... talent. Erika Lee brings a lot of actress chops to the stage at Juno Cabaret. So does Allison Holtkamp. And they're amazing to watch because they bring movement and, I would say, drama to some of these songs, too. Yeah. Good drama.
And, of course, the variety of singers means the variety of types of songs and approaches and stuff like that. It's just... A really fun evening.
Did I mention Bobby Mitchell will also be singing? She'll be accompanied by Luke as well. And she's been in Juno Cabaret almost since the beginning, since 2011. John Haywood has sung in almost every show, and he'll be performing also. And then Patricia Hull also is a perennial favorite at Juno Cabaret, and we're very pleased to have her back with us again.
And, Tom, the details again?
Okay, well, it's Sunday night at Rockwell Ballroom, beginning at 7 p.m., it's pay as you can or as you wish, and food and drink available from the Rockwell kitchens. So,
all right.
The other thing we're very excited about is we're going to continue the lecture concert series at the APK Museum Lecture Hall beginning in December. And that's going to run until April. It'll be the last Saturday of each month at 2 p.m. And we'll be back on the air to talk more about the lecture concert series, I feel certain. But we'll have every last Saturday except February, I believe, is going to be the 17th.
Well, we'll look forward to that as well. I found you all on Facebook.
Good.
Is that the best place, would you say? Or
Facebook, and then also this website, www.junocabaret.net. And that's a good place to... sign up to sing. If you've always wanted to sing on the stage of Juno Cabaret, line up an accompanist. If you're 15 and over, you're welcome to sign up. Our next show is December 20th. We're going to do a rush hour concert called the Holiday Extravaganza, and that's a lot of fun, too.
Fun. And when somebody does sign up, what process do they go through to get into the show?
They get onto our website, sign up, line up an accompanist, put his or her name there, too, and provide their telephone number, and then the whole thing just sort of unfolds from there. We're going to open the sign-up for the December show the same night of the September show, Sunday night. So,
All right, Tom Locher, Tom Melville, musicians, accompanists, singers, organizers, founders extraordinaire. Thank you guys for coming on the show. Anything else you'd like to add?
Thank you so much, Scott.
Yep, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
After one whole quart of brandy, like a daisy I'm awake. With no Broma seltzer handy, I don't even shake. Men are not a new sensation, I've done pretty well, I think. But this half-pint imitation put me on the blink. I'm wild again, beguiled again. A simpering, whimpering child again. Bewitched, bothered, and bewildered am I. Couldn't sleep and wouldn't sleep when love came and told me I shouldn't sleep. Bewitched, bothered, and bewildered am I. Lost my heart, but what of it? He is cold, he can laugh, but I love it, although the laugh's on me. I'll sing to him each spring to him, and long for the day when I'll cling to him. Be bothered and bewildered am I. He's a fool and don't I know it, but a fool can have his charms. I'm in love and don't I show it, like a babe in arms. Love's the same old sad sensation, lately I've not slept a wink. Since this half-pint imitation put me on the blink. I've sinned a lot, I mean a lot, but I'm like sweet 17 a lot. Bewitched, bothered, and bewildered am I. I'll sing to him each spring to him, and worship the trousers that cling to him. Bewitched, bothered, and bewildered am I. When he talks, he is seeking words to get off his chest. Horizontally speaking, he's at his very...
You're listening to A Juno Afternoon here on Thursday, September 14th. Scott Burton, your host. It's about 17 minutes until the top of the hour. And joining me now in the Studio A is James Hoagland. He is on the Southeast Advisory Board for 4A's, and will be hosting as Gigi Monroe on Saturday night, Femme Fatale, and also will be a part of Friday night's extravaganza locals night at the Rendezvous. Welcome to the show, James.
Thank you, Scott. Yeah, it's a lot going on, right?
There is a lot going on, and if I botched any of that, please correct
me. No, actually, you got it. But it's a, you know, we settle in for a long weekend of drag fundraising starting tomorrow night. So yeah, there's a lot going on.
All of this goes towards 4A's. If people don't know what that is, tell us.
Sure, it's the Alaskan AIDS Assistance Association, and they're headquartered up in Anchorage, but have an office here in Southeast, here in Juneau, and it covers work with clients who are living with HIV and AIDS and their families, and also working to prevent the spread of the infection. So that's through things like free HIV testing, running the needle exchange, and doing educational classes to high-risk populations.
And remind me, is there a physical location here in Juneau?
There is, yeah. We're right above the Gold Town Nickelodeon.
And what is the most, I would say, popular or thing that you do the most down at the office here?
Actually, the biggest program right now is the needle exchange. It is the only program in town where folks can come in, get all kinds of information and resources about everything from recovery to healthcare services while they're still using, to access to clean needles, which is crucial in preventing the spread of HIV, but also hepatitis C and lots of other things. And, you know, most of all, it's a caring, compassionate person that someone can come in and talk to openly without that fear of judgment that they so often carry around in mainstream services. So we stay very, very busy with that program. And, you know, as funding increases so funding decreases throughout the state for HIV prevention, that's one of the programs that's been hit the hardest.
That's why something like this weekend is so important for
Absolutely.
Fundraising.
This is our only fundraiser in Southeast, actually, so we rely on this. We raise around $10,000 every year, and we really rely on that money to keep the programs going in Southeast.
Okay, it starts on Friday night. Describe the scene for our listeners, if you will.
Okay, so picture this. The Rendezvous, downtown Juneau, 7 o'clock. The door is just open. You can rush in to grab your seat, grab a cocktail, hang out with your friends, and get ready for showtime. Showtime's at 8:30. And what you're going to see is 12 of your friends and neighbors and colleagues and family members and, you know, everybody else here in Juneau who has fallen in love with the art of drag, and they are competing to be the king and queen of femme fatale. So we have six kings, which are women who don a male persona to perform, and six queens, who are men who don a female persona to perform, and we'll have a panel of celebrity judges choosing the winners.
And then one of the winners from that night, both of the winners, a king and a queen, move on to the grand finale
Saturday night. Exactly.
Now, what's that seem
like? So Saturday night is really what Femme Fatale has been about for over 10 years now. Drag queens from Anchorage have come down to help Juneau throw a fabulous drag fundraiser to support 4A's. So this continues that tradition. We've got six incredible queens and a king from Mad Myrna's in Anchorage who come down. We're going to go over to Rockwell for a little bit bigger venue, and the winners from Locals Night will join them in another fabulous night of drag entertainment.
What is drag entertainment? Can it be singing, dancing?
You know, actually, we do have a live singer coming down from Anchorage this time. Normally, it's lip sync, dancing, telling a story through a song. So it really can be a variety of presentations, if you will. But we do have a live singer as well who will be in the mix on Saturday night, which will be pretty exciting.
The art of drag,
yes.
It seems to be growing in popularity. How would you explain that?
It's just like gremlins, like you just keep watering it and it just, they're multiplying. You know, the art of drag, like, why is it so attractive? I mean, what other experience do you have in life where you get to walk on stage and the audience instantly goes crazy, cheers for you, applauds you, gives you money, loves you, you know, and wants to interact with you just for being fabulous, you know? And, like, where else does that ever happen? You know, nowhere. So it's really a special thing, and it's no wonder that more and more people want to be a part of that.
Gigi Monroe will be hosting on Saturday. Tell us about Gigi.
So Gigi is my alter ego. If you haven't seen me at other shows around town or hosting events, it is my particular art form that I've been doing for about 15 years. And I just love bringing that fabulousness to stage, but also making people feel good and smile and laugh, especially in a political atmosphere like we're in now, where we need that more and more. And we just need to, you know, come together and feel supported as we are. And whatever anybody's self-expression is, it should be celebrated. So I'm happy to play that role.
If somebody hasn't been before, how would you urge them to go? What would you say?
Well, I would say that you're going to see a really good mix in the audience. You're probably going to know a lot of people there because our shows have grown into this community event where people come together from all walks of life, all ages, all sorts of categories that you could divide people up into. They all come together for the show because it's so much fun. Bring some dollar bills. They will help provide the best show possible. And, you know, just sit back and enjoy. There's going to be a lot of different kinds of music, different styles of performance, everything from comedy to sexy to political and avant-garde. So there's kind of something for everybody. And, you know, you just sit back and enjoy and watch somebody's inner diva come out.
Friday starts at what time?
Doors at 7, show at 8:30, and that's both Friday and Saturday.
And do you think people can get tickets at the door, or should they get them in advance?
Friday is at the door, and Saturday we are selling tickets in advance. We just sold out of our VIP seats for Saturday at Rockwell, but there are still some general admission left. And you can get those tickets at 4A's website, which is alaskanaids.org.
All right, James Hoagland, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you,
Thanks
Scott.
For your work with 4A. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, just hold on. It's going to be a wild ride.
Thanks, James. Listening to a Juno afternoon here on Thursday. It's about 7 minutes till the top of the hour, and it is time for Arts Up with Nancy DeCherney. Nancy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. We have a lot to do today.
We do have a lot to do today. You were just talking about, you're excited for the shows we were just talking about with James.
Yes, and you've already talked to Tom Locher about some other stuff, but anyway, let's get rolling here because, my goodness gracious. The UA Board of Regents are meeting tonight from 5 to 6 out at the Rec Center, so you can go talk to them about any of your concerns about the university. Goldtown's got New Moon over Tohoku, which is a documentary, I think, about the Japanese earthquake and tsunami. We've got the preview of Chad Deity opening at Perseverance Theater tonight at 7:30. a satirical smackdown of culture, stereotype, and geopolitics. It opens Friday night. You don't want to miss this. And it runs for a while, but you think to yourself, it runs for a while, and then you forget. Anyway, do that. The Safety and Preparedness Expo is on Friday from 11 to 7, and then again on Saturday over at Centennial Hall. It's a fun event for the entire community, but also really important information that we all need to know. We may not get hurricanes, but you never know what might not happen here. So,
and Juno Afternoon will actually be broadcasting live from that tomorrow. On Friday at 4,
cool.
Or from 3 to 4.
Cool. So head on over to Centennial Hall for that. From 4 to 7 Friday evening, the Marine Exchange Open House. This building was just completed. Looks beautiful on the waterfront down there by the Harris Harbor. Come on in and see what it's all about. There are Glacier Swim Club tryouts and registration from 4:30 to 5. That doesn't seem like very much time, but that's what it says here. It says swim fast. It's out at the Diamond Park Aquatic Center. Let's see, we've got a Whoosh Kanade open mic at Zach Gordon at 6:30. Come on down. You sign up at 6:30 and the performance is at 7. It's for all ages and abilities and performance types. It's free. So we want you to come. And as you were just mentioning or talking with James about, the Femme Fatale at Rendezvous Forays thing is at 7 on Friday night. And over at the Alaska Fish and Chips Company, there is a fresh fish and deep fried band.
Fresh music.
Anyway, there'll be some stuff. I don't remember who the band member is now. But anyway. And it is, as I mentioned, the opening night of Chad Deity at Perseverance Theater and Juno's Bluegrass Holiday at the Alaskan Hotel. Are you involved in that at all? Nope. Okay. 10 p.m. And then Saturday morning, bright and early, there is from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. But, you know, with garage sales, you got to get there early. There is a Montessori fundraising garage sale, and it is at the Montessori School, I believe, which is over in Douglas. Again, the Marine Exchange is open. There is hand-stamped necklaces. You can make this with Tristan Berkey at the Canvas from 10 to 4. And then go on over to Centennial Hall and do your safety thing. There's Pilates at Juno Dance Theater in the at noon. Pickleball, you can learn to play that at DZ Middle School. This is for adults and teens from 12 to 2 at DZ. But the thing I'm excited about, and my kids are excited about, is their favorite author is coming to town, Rosemary Wells. She wrote Max and the Chocolate Chicken and Ruby and Max. Anyway, she's a wonderful author, and she will be at the SLAM talking with people about the medical and educational evidence of the value of reading aloud to children. This is free, and you should just all come. Again, there's the Femme Fatales at 7 and Chad Deity in the evening. Dancing the Night Away at St. Anne's Parish Hall from 7:30 to 11, contra and square dancing. Dances are called and taught. Beginners are welcome. You don't have to have partners or any of that. Wear comfortable clothes. It's $10 and $5, depending on how it is with you. Sunday, we have Family Day at the City Museum. It's the Big Read Project. So you'll be over at the Juno Public Libraries and I guess at the City Museum. I didn't really get all the details for this one, but call the City Museum and get involved in the Big Read. Okay? So it sounds like we have better go to the JunoArtsAndHumanitiesCouncil.org and get the rest of the details about the calendar because, my goodness, we ran out of time to get there. Okay.
Nancy DeCherney with Arts Up. Thank you for coming across the street from the Juno Arts and Humanities Council and the Center. Nancy DeCherney, always a pleasure. Thank you. And thank you all for tuning in to a Juno Afternoon. Let's see, tomorrow we'll be live from the expo at Centennial Hall. And we can learn about being prepared for emergencies, of course. We'll hear the radio in a box, which is our emergency broadcasting radio system. In fact, they will be broadcasting from there. And we'll find out about food security in Southeast Alaska. Those interviews and more tomorrow on a Juno Afternoon Live from the Safety and Preparedness Expo. The temperature is currently 52 degrees, and the forecast for tonight calls for patchy fog after 1 a.m. Tomorrow, patchy fog before 10 a.m., otherwise mostly cloudy. Thanks for tuning in to a Juneau Afternoon.